Ditch the Desk is a fitness career mentorship. It's a program where people who love fitness, you know, they're always in the gym or they're the go-to person that their friends and family always ask them for fitness advice or, hey, can you give me a workout or whatever? And they've thought about monetizing that and like somehow getting into the fitness industry, but they're not really sure how to start because there's just so much information and so many ways you can work in fitness now. So it's the program that helps them figure all that out and then take steps to start implementing, which is, I think, the hardest part for most people.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, you guys, Maestro here, and welcome back to another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today, I have with me a good friend who was actually a patient of mine in a former life, back when I still enjoyed treating. She started in investor relations, whatever that means, she'll tell us, then found CrossFit, ditched the desk, we'll talk more about that also, became a coach. Somewhere in there, she moved to the Cayman Islands, blew my mind there, for 3 years, was coaching there, has since moved back, and is now, she's coaching still, but is now also coaching individuals who want to also ditch the desk and become trainers. Had to bring her on, total Roger Bannister effect, Roger Bannister story going on here. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, my good friend, Julia Avery. What's up, homie?
Hi. Oh my God, I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity.
By the way, guys, she has an actual mic because she's starting a podcast. So we're putting that out into the universe, and just so you know. But you're on the hook.
Now I have to do it.
Exactly. That's what I do. I'm a pusher. So Julia, can you do me a solid and tell the people about you, especially what this investor relations stuff means? I don't know what that means.
That's really boring, but sure. I graduated from college with a degree in economics and lots of student loan debt.
Yes.
So felt obligated to get a job and pay that off, which is still in the works. But mm-hmm.
For all of us.
Yeah, pretty much. It's forever, mm-hmm. forever yes. in debt. I knew when I graduated, I wanted to move to New York. That was like my goal. I didn't really care what I was doing as long as I could pay my bills and not like starve to death. So I went home after college and just started looking for jobs only in New York, and finally like got myself a phone interview and pretty much invited myself to their office to meet them. They're like, yeah, this sounds great. Everything's good. We'll get back to you. I'm like, actually, I'm going to be in New York in a week. Totally did not have a flight. But as soon as they agreed to meet me, made it happen. So I, long story short, got the job, started working in investor relations, which is basically like the middleman between a company and like Wall Street. So it's kind of a combo. Like you have to have an understanding of finance kind of. But it's a lot of communications. So we actually worked with biotech and pharma companies, which was interesting because I always like science. And we were the ones who like we helped them put together decks or presentations so they could pitch investors. We set up roadshows for them, all kind of like targeted the right investors and all like hedge funds and stuff. We weren't like calling people in their homes to try to get them to invest in companies.
Thank God.
Yeah. So that was my first job out of school. It was actually good. It was a very small all women company. So I got to learn a lot and like got to work directly with like the CEOs of these small biotech companies. So it was a good experience. It just wasn't really what I loved to do. So I started I guess the biggest thing I didn't like about it was I was sitting all day at a desk, and I always loved fitness. Like, I did gymnastics when I was really little. I stopped organized sports at like age 16 and was like, crap, I guess exercise is important. So I joined a gym. And so I was kind of like finding my own way around a gym from a young age, just like playing around with the weight machines and then getting into like free weights. And I just liked experimenting and working out and seeing how like you could go do something consistently and your body would actually change. And you could like progressively see yourself getting stronger. So that was – but I never connected that with like work.
Mm-hmm. I
thought about working in the fitness industry.
Yeah, for sure.
So where are we? I'm back in investor relations.
You are actually, I'm going to interject real quick and just kind of talk about the fact that when we look back on it's really interesting to hear this side of the story as someone that's an outsider, because I watch what you're doing now and you're growing your ditch the desk program. And I'm like, dude, this girl was a go-getter from the beginning. Like, you were like, yeah, I have a flight there. Like, it's amazing to see how that carries over and how you've, you know, and I'm sure you tell us about like, you know, working in the Caymans and stuff like that and how you have done amazing things, but amazing things don't happen to people who don't put in work. Right? Like,
yeah.
It's really nice to see like your story from the jump, from minute number one, even if it was investor relations. You were putting in the work and doing the damn thing. So how did then you get into fitness? And I love that you said that like you didn't even, you know, put the two together, which we hear a lot where people are like, I think now we're seeing more social media. So people are kind of like can see other things, but oftentimes we don't realize that like, yeah, I could like make a living doing this, which is what you're actually teaching people how to do now. But how did you go from the investor relations job and like, I'm at the gym, I've been at the gym since I was a kid, to actually coaching? What did that leap look like?
So I switched. So my friend had left the investor relations firm and she went to work at like a marketing company. And she calls me. She's like, Julia, you got to come work here. It's way more fun. The hours are better. And I was at that point, I'm like, sure, I'll try something new. I trust you. So I went over there to work with her and she ended up actually leaving the company. So I was basically running the marketing company by myself at this like digital marketing startup.
Oh.
I knew nothing about marketing.
Wow.
I was doing, if I looked back at it now, like I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any guidance. I felt kind of lost and my work wasn't satisfying, but it gave me time to explore other things and be like, mm-hmm. I really don't like this. What else might I like to do? So I didn't have a lot of supervision there, which was a blessing because I could kind of
That's amazing.
Look around. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Getting paid like, you know, a full salary to look for other jobs. Essentially.
Can't complain. Got to take advantage of that.
Exactly, which is what I tell people now who are making the transition. I'm like, don't think of your day job as getting in the way. Think of it as supporting this thing that you're trying to do.
Exactly.
So I started looking. I was like, you know what? I really love being in the gym. Like, I'm there all the time. I had made friends. This is when I was going to like New York Sports Club. I'd made friends with some of the trainers. One of them became somewhat of a mentor to me. Like, he kind of, you know, he always supported. He's like, go get your personal training cert, get into training. Like, you could always, they would hire you here in a second if you wanted to work here. So he kind of pushed me,
awesome.
He's a pusher, pushed me a little bit to do that. But I saw his life. Like, I saw the trainers working in a gym like that. And I was like, I don't think that I really want this, like working floor hours and walking around mm-hmm. and trying to get clients and making like a very small percentage off of each session that you do. So I started looking on Craigslist. I started looking everywhere for fitness jobs, like literally anything, like SoulCycle social media director or studio manager. I was like, anything to get my foot in the door and maybe use some of the skills that I already have. And I didn't end up getting any jobs like that. What I ended up getting was an assistant instructor position at a little boutique fitness studio that was like HIIT classes. So kettlebells, dumbbells, mm-hmm. rowing, all that jazz. And this was right when I had started to get interested in CrossFit. So I was like, okay, I speak this language. This is up my alley. I can assist. I don't know what I'm doing, but I can assist.
You learn as you go.
Yeah, exactly. So I got that job and I started teaching like 5 classes a week before and after work, getting paid like not very much, not enough to imagine myself being able to quit and make a living off of that, but enough to like get my feet wet and figure out like, oh, wow, I really like this. Like I look forward to teaching these classes and this is fun and I can research new exercises and like putting more work into that than I was into my actual job that was paying my bills.
Uh-huh. The switch starts to happen. I like it. Go on, go on, go on.
Yeah, exactly. So I started to like try to envision, okay, this is what I like. How can I make this happen? And there was that kind of gap, which I'm seeing with a lot of my clients now of like, how do I go from getting paid this hourly class rate? Yeah. To like supplement my salary that I'm making now. Like, how do you jump from that? So I talked to the studio owners and I was like, listen, this is what I'm thinking of doing. I would love to quit and be here full time, whatever that looks like. But I'm worried financially. I would need to have more classes, or if there's any other help that you guys need at the studio. Like I think they liked that I had this corporate background because not a lot of fitness people do. So they were like, you know what? Yeah, well, we can give you more classes. We need more help. You've proven you're no longer an assistant. You can lead a class by yourself. We'll give you front desk hours so that you can earn money, but also get to know the clients more and just be here more. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Dude. You guys listening, keep taking notes on this. The same theme keeps coming up. This chick worked for it and asked for it. Like they didn't come up to you like, Julia, it seems like you like this. Let's give you more hours. Like that wasn't what happened. Right? It was like, I love it. You pitched this thing to them. This is amazing. So what happened next?
So I don't remember when that was. So I started working at that studio in like July, and I don't remember when I made that decision of like, I'm going to do this for real. But I remember that my last day of work was December 20th of that year.
Love it.
It's like drilled in my mind.
Love it. Like 5 months later. Oh, my math is bad, but
yeah.
Damn, that's
right.
Amazing. Like, I don't know. That's awesome.
Which is, it's funny that you like, it's funny when I tell my story to someone else, because the things that you notice aren't things that I necessarily see in myself. Like I'm not someone who's super like, let me just go up and talk to strangers and let me do all these things that are really big and scary. It's more like I get so unhappy in a situation that I can no longer stand it.
Yeah. Dude, and I think that's when I coach people, I tell them the same thing. I am not a Gary Vee. I am not a burn the ships person. And oftentimes I tell people that they will leap when they hate something bad enough. Like, and that's what I left. Like, I stayed in the job because, like you said, it's funding this other dream that you have and it's paying your bills and like you're not homeless. But when it gets to the point where I used to get like the Friday scaries instead of the Sunday scaries, I was like, oh my God, Monday's almost here. It's Friday. And I was like, it's probably time to try to do something else. And so that's a totally valid way of, you know, making jumps and making leaps or whatever, taking steps forward. And then you do the thing like, man, maybe you don't go and just talk to random people, but everything you said so far, you created this. Like, every single thing. You're like, I went and asked for this. I went and did this thing. I got on a plane and showed up. Like, you did the thing. So when you switched, when you left in December, were you like already, was there like a gradual transition? I know it was a 5-month period, but it was like you're picking up more classes during that 5-month period and then like showing yourself, yes, I could do this. Or was there like a bit of a blind leap, like I'm going to just make it work?
I can't really remember. I couldn't have picked up that many classes because I still had to be at work from like 9 to 6 or whatever it was. So I didn't have a lot of extra time.
Got it.
I don't know.
I mean, you would know. So that's the thing. Like even – and this is – I love like teasing this out from people when I like – when I coach and I go and get their stories and stuff, because one of the things I always say is that, you know, the Maya Angelou quote, like, you're going to remember how people made you feel. You will remember how circumstances made you feel. And if you had felt really scared, if you felt like, oh my God, I'm working too much, you felt some kind of bad way, you'd remember that shit. So the fact that you're like, don't really know, means that like you were doing okay. You're like, yeah, this is sustainable. And then obviously looking forward to like, here comes December and I'm out. Was that scary? Maybe you don't remember, but was that, if you can remember, was it scary to tell your boss you were leaving?
It was. I was kind of just intimidated by him in general because I felt like I was really bad at my job because I just didn't care. And I do remember him saying, like, I'm not surprised. And okay. I think it was because I had started this before I even applied for my job at this studio. I'd started a fitness blog with another girl. It was right when Instagram was getting started, like 2012, 13. Yeah. And we started an account, which was like the perfect time to get an Instagram. Yeah. And so that was like, I wasn't secretive about it at all. I would post on my blog. I would promote it everywhere. It was very obvious that I was really interested in fitness. So I think when he said I'm not surprised, it was more like, we know you love this because you don't hide it at all. Yeah,
that's just, you couldn't also.
Like, no, I mean, I didn't want to hide it. And it was part of the reason I think that I was able to get a job in the industry without a lot of experience was, one, it was kind of a newer studio. So I think they were more willing to, you know, take in someone who was a little more green and kind of train them and mold them into what they wanted them to be.
Makes sense.
But also I just was so passionate about it. Like, I remember sending in my resume and being like, I know there's no fitness experience on here, but here's my blog that I've started. And, you know, I'm willing to come in and meet with you and show you what I know. And I've started doing this. I'd started doing a personal training cert just to have it. So I kind of just showed them everything that I was doing in hopes that that would be enough.
I love it. This is such a go-getter mentality. Like, I fucking love it. I don't have any fitness background, but here's other things that I've been doing that do in some way qualify me for this and show you that, hey, I'm invested and teach me. I want to learn. Yes, I love it. So you started working at the boutique place in December. And what did that look like? Were you only working there? Were you doing CrossFit classes also or just the boutique?
No, I was only working there. I didn't have my CrossFit, my level one yet. So I was working there. I was doing some front desk hours. I remember I was like painfully shy, by the way, growing up. And I remember being at the front desk and like being terrified when people would walk in. And if anything, working in fitness and especially group fitness has helped me. Like, I'm still shy in big groups of new people that I don't know. But, you know, now if someone walks into a studio or a gym, I'm like, hi, I'm Julia. What are you here? Like almost to the point where it probably freaks them out.
I love it.
But yeah, I was working there. I did some front desk. I got more classes. I remember having all of this time in the middle of the day because as any fitness instructor will tell you, you have like 5 to 9 a.m. and 5 to 9 p.m. and then nothing to do in the time between. Or at least I didn't know what to do. I'm like, okay, I need to do something productive. I don't know how to not do anything. Like, what do I do with my time? And so I started working out at a CrossFit gym. One of the guys working at the studio I was at, he was also coached at a CrossFit gym. And he's like, stop this New York Sports Club nonsense, like trying to do Fran in the middle of the gym.
Oh, yeah. It's true. We all tried that. All of us. We all tried doing it and it didn't work.
No, if you do Fran in a CrossFit gym, you're like, I just PR'd my time by like half. It's crazy. So yeah, he's like, come on over here and do CrossFit in a real gym. I was like, okay, I should probably do that. So I ended up working out there and just learning a lot from working out with another coach on both how to coach and just getting better at CrossFit in general. So eventually I was like, you know what? I should go get my level one because I would love to have the option of coaching CrossFit. And so I actually talked to the studio I was at about getting it because if anyone listening knows level one's $1,000.
Yeah. $1,000, man. That shit was like, that's so expensive. I have to renew mine actually. I'm like dragging my feet. It's so expensive.
Yeah.
And I want to go to the class again also. I'm like, I don't want to do that again. Let me just pay you. I already paid $2,000, so I have to go to that class again.
I know.
Just throwing it out there. It's a whole weekend.
I always wonder if you would get, like, if I did it again, would I get more out of
it? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't. I think that you guys listening, I actually really loved the class. I think that the first day of it, everyone who wants to do CrossFit should have to take, because it tells you like what CrossFit was intended to be. All this bastardized versions that we see now and like, you know, one rep max all the time for the whole, your whole life. Like this is not, CrossFit was not designed to be a sport. You go to that, to the L1 and you see like the first day it was like, oh, this is just like designed to be like a training modality so that you could like go and live a healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool. This is really, really good stuff. Like, I really don't think if I went back and I have to do it in the next few months, like if I go back and learn, they're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't know that. But I digress. If you guys are thinking about doing it, totally do it. But it's going to cost you $1,000. So you asked your the studio owners about that. How'd that go?
They agreed. They were like, you know what, we'll pay for it as your continuing education it. As long as, I think it was like, you have to work here for 6 more months and you will have paid it off or something. And I had no plans of leaving. I just started. So it was perfect. So I got my level one, and a few months later, the coach at the gym that I was working out at needed some help over the summer coaching. So I took on like 3 classes there, and that was kind of my entry into coaching CrossFit.
Hey, love it. She asked. This is like amazing. Now let's fast forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cayman Islands. Tell the people what how'd that happen, and can we go down that little story for a little bit, because that's really cool.
Yeah, of course. I miss it there a lot. I'm gonna be reminiscing now with you.
I like that.
So let's see. Where are we? I had been in New York for about 3 years when I started working in fitness. I stayed in New York doing fitness for another 3 years. Okay. And as you know, from living in New York for so long, eventually you're like, I have to get out of here.
Exactly.
Every winter I would say the same thing. And then it was like, stay another year and another year, which at the time was good because I was building up, you know, I started working in fitness.
Totally.
It was it's a great place to start a fitness career because there's so many opportunities there. But I was definitely feeling burnt out. I think both from the fitness lifestyle, I was teaching like 25 to 30 classes a week.
Mm-hmm.
I was tired of living in a tiny apartment with no windows in the living room. And so my friend, I remember we were at Yankee Stadium, has this really nice public track right outside of it. And I was there doing a track workout with one of my friends and complaining to her. There was supposed to be like another snowstorm. It was one of those like, it's 75 degrees. And then 2 days later, it's supposed to snow.
Yep.
So I was like, oh my gosh, Sophie, I can't stay in New York any longer. I'm so over it. But I don't know like where I would go or what I would do. I just know I want to leave. But I couldn't envision how I could make money in fitness not being in New York. Like, I just didn't know enough about it outside of the city. So she's like, you know what? Actually, my boyfriend was just down in Grand Cayman doing – he works for Power Monkey Fitness. She was like, he was doing a seminar down there for the gym, and they're looking for coaches, and they asked him if he knew anyone. Do you want me to pass on the information of the owner? I was like
– absolutely not. It's amazing.
At first I did. I was like, you know what? I don't know. I didn't know where Grand Cayman was, first of all.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. It's very fair. Me neither. That's fair. It's very fair.
And it was, I don't know, I kind of just like shied away at it, which I tend to do a lot. Like if something seems like it's too far out there, it's going to be a lot of work, or I can't like clearly see where it's going to go, I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe the status quo is just fine. Because I wasn't so unhappy that I was ready to leave.
Yeah.
But then I'm pretty sure probably the snow came or something. I was like, you know what? Give me that number.
Exactly.
So yeah, I talked to the owner. We got on the phone. I still remember I was sitting in Chipotle staring at Park Avenue while talking on the phone with him, like in between classes. And I had a trip planned to the Dominican Republic with my friend. And I told him, I was like, he wanted me to come visit Cayman to make sure I liked it and try out coaching some classes and kind of like a job interview for a week-long vacation in the Caribbean. And I told him, I said, I'm going to the DR. I don't think I can take 2 weeks off. I'm not sure what I could do. He's like, well, could you just change your trip and come here instead? We'll pay for the flight difference. I was like,
okay.
All right. I call my friend. Okay. I'm like, you want to go to the Cayman Islands instead of the Dominican Republic? And she's like, sure, whatever. We have a free place to stay now.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was ideal. And she loves CrossFit too. So it was perfect. She got to come hang out and work out for free at the gym while I was like coaching classes. So I flew down there for a week. They put us up in this little condo on the beach, like hard sell.
Rough.
Yeah. Rough life.
Rough.
And I coached some classes, the gym, everyone there was so nice. Like I had no idea what to expect, but it's a community of expats who all just were super welcoming. Tons of Canadians as you know, like Canadians are the nicest people.
The nicest, hands down.
So yeah, I while I was there, I remember we were in the ocean and I was like, Mina, I'm going to say yes. Like I have to take this job.
Yeah.
So that was.
And so you moved down there by yourself though. This was like a leap. Like,
yeah.
Like your mom didn't go with you. Like,
she probably would have liked to, but no, she did not. No, my parents are in Houston. That's where I'm from. So it's actually was closer. The flight from Houston to Cayman shorter than the flight from Houston to New York. You just have to have a passport, which can be difficult for some. Uh-oh, this dog's about to start barking at me.
It's all good. It's real.
It's real.
It's fine.
She's on this medication that makes her very hungry. So she starts barking. You know what? I wonder if I could carry all this stuff outside.
Do you need to feed her?
No, it's not her dinner.
All right, we're back. Julia's outside now. Life is good when you live in Texas. So take us back to Cayman. You moved down there. Your mom didn't come with you. You took the job. You were in the water and you were like, yeah, I got to take this job. What was it like coaching down there?
It was fun. I mean, so the gym down there, one of the reasons that I felt comfortable taking this job was it's set up to where you're not just coaching CrossFit classes. It's like a hybrid model where the reason that they needed coaches was because everybody in the gym is kind of all the members are assigned to a coach. So each coach has a tribe of people.
Oh, okay.
And they're responsible for doing one-on-one fundamentals when those people join the gym and then being kind of keeping track of them as they go through classes, doing a PT every quarter or every month or every week, depending on what the person wants to pay for. And so like I was busy. I was going down there for like a full time. Awesome. You have clients, you have classes. Here's your job.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It was amazing. That's like, wow. And did it get old living there? You did it for how long? 3 years?
I was there for 3 years. So yeah, at first
that went by fast.
It went by really fast, which is
holy smokes.
Kind of, I mean, it can feel a little bit like Groundhog's Day there because the weather doesn't really change. It gets a little bit cooler in the winter, but it's not like drastically different.
It's not like a big,
So at first it was therapy for me, like my therapy from New York City.
For sure.
One of my good friends there, she was like, do you remember when you got here? Like you were so impatient and anxious and like.
Big change.
Yeah.
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 Yes. Big change. What made you come back and what are you doing now? And how was that leaving? Like, I'm really interested in like, just, you know, for the listener's sake, because taking them on this journey of like hearing like, yeah, you can take these leaps, you can do these things. You don't have to do them immediately. You can wait until you hate the thing enough. And then you got to work and you got to ask. Like things don't just fall out of the sky for you. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, yeah, it was like an amazing opportunity with Cayman thing kind of came up. But that's because you put it out there. Like, and then you took the opportunity because these things will happen to other people and they won't do the thing. And then they're like, nothing good ever happened to me. Like, you got to go and like do the damn thing. But I also like hearing about the transition, like the pain points there. How was it? You know, you said when you left the first place, investor relations, the marketing gig, what that was like. And, you know, what was it like when you told your bosses both at the boutique place / the CrossFit box in the city? And then what was it like when you told your boss in Cayman?
So leaving New York was hard. It was definitely like as ready as I was to leave. It was still like the studio I was working at. They were the whole reason I was in the industry. And I was so grateful for that opportunity, for them taking a chance on me, for everything that that led to. So that was tough, and leaving behind clients. I mean, group fitness is a little different because it's not, you know, I wasn't leaving behind a bunch of personal training clients, which I think would have been even harder. But it was a tough conversation for sure. Yeah. But they were happy for me. It's not like I was leaving to go to a competitor. It was like, hey, I can't live in New York anymore. I got to go.
That's true. That's very true. You're like, yo, I'm leaving the country. So,
yeah, exactly.
That's fair. That's very fair.
It was a little sudden. Like the gym in Cayman needed coaches pretty fast. And I was there at Memorial Day visiting and everyone just thought I was on vacation. And then when I came back and I was like, actually, I'm moving there.
That's true. Oh,
yeah. They're like, oh, wait, what? I'm sorry. Hold on.
That's true. But that's a really good point. I love that you brought that up. Leaving things that aren't terrible, right? Like, so on the one hand, and one part of your story and my story too, you know, you leave something and it's quite easy because you're like, well, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't do this thing anymore. But then there's other times when you're like, I'm trying to grow and do other things. And maybe the situation I'm in right now isn't terrible. I don't hate it. I guess it's good, but there is an opportunity for something else. And that is another time where you have to be, or we should be open to taking some chances if we are trying to push forward overall with things. How was it with the conversation leaving Cayman Islands?
That was tough. I had a lot more personal training clients at that point, and I was pretty close with the owners. Like one of the owners and I were pretty good friends, and there were a lot of tears, and it was, you know, it's hard to leave something good. Like New York, I'd been there for 7 years. I was just kind of done, versus Cayman was still kind of new. I just knew that it wasn't really what I needed at that point in my life.
Yes.
But I kept having all these conversations with people that made me almost second guess it. I was like, why am I leaving? Like, it is great. You know, you get rose colored glasses after you've made a decision.
Yeah,
that was tough, and it was much more emotional, which is weird because I hadn't been there for that long. I didn't realize all of the relationships that I had formed, like,
for sure,
just because it is such a small place and everyone comes from a different countries, and you just become each other's family there, essentially.
Makes sense. And what you do, like, you guys listening, most of you, if not all of you listening, are in the movement world in some way, shape, or form. And you know the relationships that you can establish with people. And the fact that, you know, I think most of us get into this because you realize you can change people's lives. You can get them start thinking bigger things. Not that fitness isn't a big thing, but fitness, I said this in the past, movement, things like that, CrossFit, is so transformational for people because it's tangible. You can feel the difference. I couldn't lift this before. I can lift this now. I couldn't jump on that shit before, and I'm trying it today. You can feel these changes. So suddenly you're like, what else can I do? So when you're in that movement world and you're helping people through these journeys, it's incredible. And for many people, you really change their life, and you can absolutely, you know, establish a relationship super quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's, honestly, Julia, I'm going to segue into my next question. What you're doing now is you're helping people who want to do this, who want to be you. Can you talk about Ditch the Desk and what you're doing stateside now?
Yeah. So one of the reasons that I was leaving Cayman was I got, and this happened in New York too, I was teaching group fitness, and I got to a point where I was like, I wasn't bored, but I didn't feel like I was growing. Like I needed to do more. And so I went to Cayman, and it was like, okay, now I've calmed down from New York. I've learned how to do more personal training and kind of like run my own little training business inside of a gym. But I still like, there's something missing and I want to do more. And I knew I wanted to, I love creating. Like that's why I loved the blog and the Instagram that I made. Yeah. So I would put a lot of time into like social media and putting content out there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where is this going? Like, I want to do something with this. So I knew that in Cayman, I couldn't really do my own thing because you have to have a work permit to live there. And I could have like gotten a local, like a Caymanian to go in on it with me and started my own business. But there's laws about working with people outside of the country. And I didn't want to, yeah, much. I was like, okay, let's just go back much. To the,
I'm already overwhelmed right now. You told me one sentence and I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. Don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, maybe one day, but let's go back to America where it's easy to start your own business. Not easy, but simple.
Yes.
So I came back here and initially I was going to do like more of strength training for women and like teaching, create some kind of online program where I taught women how to navigate the gym and get strong who might have been like intimidated by it and just wanted some guidance. And after a few conversations with people, I was like, you know what? This isn't actually what I really want to do. I had a couple of convos where people were just like, can I pick your brain? I really want to know how you got into the industry and I would love to work in fitness.
There you go.
And I was like, ooh, light bulb. I have some value to add here.
There you go. Yes.
Thus was created Ditch the Desk.
And what is Ditcha the Desk?
So it, oh, hello.
That's me.
Ditch the Desk is, I've started calling it, it's a fitness career mentorship, essentially. So it's a program where people who love fitness, you know, they're always in the gym or they're the go-to person that their friends and family always ask them for fitness advice or, hey, can you give me a workout or whatever? And they've thought about monetizing that and like somehow getting into the fitness industry, but they're not really sure how to start because there's just so much information and so many ways you can work in fitness now. So it's the program that helps them figure all that out. So identify kind of what direction you think you want to go so that we can figure out a starting point and then basically take steps to start implementing, which is, I think, the hardest part for most people.
Dude, it absolutely is the hardest part for most people across the board. People are really good at acquiring more information or like doing more research. And then it's like 7 years later and you're like, you've still been researching that same freaking accreditation, whatever certification, like just do the thing. So one of the things that I have loved about watching Julia's journey, and this is what I do, you guys, you know, I'm on Instagram like 24 hours a day. I'm just stalking people and like watching what they're doing and then being like, ah, she believes in this thing. You guys listen to my podcast with Ben Patrick, Knees Over Toes, and I love this phrase, listening around the edges. I would love it if you guys do that with every episode. So even if you don't want to become a personal trainer, that's fine. But I think in every episode, there's something to take from it. And one of the things that I see so much in watching Julia's journey and watching her on social media, she freaking loves this stuff and she believes in it and she's not scared to tell you about it. I do this coaching for Instagram, things like that. And one of the main things in general that people are scared of is marketing themselves. They're like, I don't want to annoy people. I don't want to whatever. And it's like, dude, how are they going to find out about what you're doing? Julia is talking about this thing every day and I love it because it's needed. Like there's so many things in what you just said. That's just like so many teachable moments. Like I get the question of like, what should I start out doing? What should I create? What product? Whatever. And it's like, what are you getting asked about a lot? That's where you have value. And that's exactly what Julia did. She was like, oh, everyone's asking me about how to start. I can provide a ton, not just a little bit, a ton of value in that. And coach you through it. Because when you're first starting out, guys, you know, like, unless you're really that go-getter, and it's okay if you're not, accountability is huge. You will always find a reason to not do the thing. And it may be the most rational reason ever, but if you're supposed to do the thing, you got to do the thing. And so that's true, right? But you're going to come up with reasons to not do it. So when you go in a program like this, and you're just 6 months, Julia, did I make that up?
It's 12 weeks.
How? Yeah. 12 weeks, sorry. I'm
for now.
Numbers. So I like that. So when you go into a program like this, you have that accountability. And you guys have heard her story. I was actually in a cab in Portland, I don't know, last week, and talking to my Uber driver. And my Uber driver was talking about how she, you know, wants to get into training. And I was like, well, I can't fucking help you with that. Like, I can teach you about the digital world, but like, I have someone that can help you with this. And who has gone about it in a very realistic, you know, approachable, digestible way. Like, I love hearing your story. I love that you're sharing your story with these people because you know, when we go to start becoming a coach, one of the things that oftentimes happens is the people we coach are former versions of ourselves. And that's exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's why these people will be successful, because you've been there, you've gone through it, you know, you're still in it, you still have passion for this, and you can help mm-hmm. them. So what does the program look like, if you don't mind sharing, like, yeah. If I was in the program, what does it look like?
So you mean like deliverables or?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do marketing terms. What are the deliverables?
I'm learning all these terms now. Like, what's the investment? What are the deliverables?
Exactly. What's the transformation? Tell me all these things.
So basically, we have – it's funny, too. I did talk to your Uber driver yesterday, and we had an awesome conversation. And she is the quintessential, like, let me educate myself as much as possible, but yes. I don't know how to implement. And we had that exactly. conversation of, like – you could get every certification in the books, but until you start doing something with it, you're never going to overcome your imposter syndrome that you have.
There you go.
And you're just never going to move forward. So that's kind of, I've actually started telling people on calls now, this is an implementation program.
Yes, that's what it needs yeah. to be. Because it's very easy to go and get more and more information and get more and more and more and more and more, but we got to do the damn thing at mm-hmm. some point. Kind of the same thing.
So basically, we're doing it together. So over the 12 weeks, we have the first thing we do is just get clear. Like, I have people brain dump everything that they think they want to do, in whether it's related to fitness or not. Just like get it all out on paper, and then we zero in on the one thing that they want to start with. So if they think they want to do personal training, okay, highlight that and let's figure out what the first step that you need to take is, whether that is getting a certification or it's just going out and talking to people about the fact that you're doing personal training so that you can attract yeah. clients. I think a lot of people freak out because they're like, I don't know, do I have to build my Instagram and do I have to do all this? And I'm yeah. like, you don't have to do any of that yet. Like, you know, Instagram's a great tool and you can just put stuff out there and start building trust, but like, let's mm-hmm. get you out into mm-hmm. the community or whatever that is for you, and like talk yeah. to people.
Yeah.
So yes. that's kind of the first part. And then we have weekly calls where everyone in the group gets on a Zoom call, which anyone doesn't know what Zoom is. It looks like the Brady Bunch. We see each other's face on the exactly. computer. And we just talk through whatever people are dealing with on whatever part of the journey they're on. So if someone has talked to a potential client, then on the call, we might do like a mock sales call so that they can practice like what they're going to say when this person says Love it's it. Too expensive or whatever. Or we might talk about, you know, what a lot of people have questions on pricing, like what should I be charging people?
Always.
So you know, I've had people like go home and come up with like prices that they feel comfortable with. And that's always an interesting topic that comes up in our calls. Uh-huh. Or I don't know, Absolutely. Lots of different things. And then we have a Facebook uh-huh. group. So I know you've said it before too. Like, I don't really enjoy Facebook at all, but it's great for groups and yeah. community.
The groups. That's it.
So in our Facebook group, it's only groups. For members of Ditch the Desk.
And it is, and I don't know why, because I'm like, it shouldn't be, but I've stumbled over it like every time I've said it so far on this podcast. I'm like, why? Yeah. But
why? A lot of people do. It's not just you. I can't even say it. It's my program. So yeah, the Facebook group is kind of like I'll do like a win Wednesday. I'm like, okay, give me a win that you've had this week. Or people will post questions they have. And I love it because people like will jump in and help each other. Like, someone's like, what do you guys use when you create an online program for clients? And another girl who's been doing that's mm-hmm. like, I use this. I can show you all about it. So it's cool because I'm so far.
The magic of the
it
group.
Is. Yeah. And it's like, these people are yep. so, they're in it right now versus I've been in it for almost 7 years now. So it's like, I'm so far removed from that stage of getting started that mm-hmm. it's been really refreshing to talk to people, even people who aren't in the program, who I'm just talking to about it, and learn what those fears and obstacles are, because
absolutely.
I've kind of forgot.
Yeah. Because absolutely. Absolutely. So, so important. Julia, you guys listening, this should be, at least to some of you, quite interesting, quite intriguing. I'm guessing by the time I put this episode out, enrollment will have closed. But Where can they go to get more information and how can they contact you?
Sure. So Instagram is my favorite. my username, like AOL.
I know, right? Look, yeah.
I just aged myself. My handle is Julia Avery, which I'm sure Shantae will put in the show notes, but it's
yes, you know
J-U-L-I-A-V-E-R-Y. It's a little shared
A. It's tricky.
I know.
Yeah, the shared A. It's tricky because you want to put two. And there is somebody else on Instagram that has the full name like that, but it's a shared A. And it will be in the show notes, guys.
And my website is not a shared A. It's juliaavery.com, double A in the middle there.
Love it.
So that will take you at the very top. There's a big banner that says, I help people get into the fitness industry. So if you click on there, it'll take you to my Ditch the Desk page with all of the information that you want to know. And you can always message me on Instagram. I will reply to your message probably faster than you expect. Yep. And
it's good stuff.
Or you can,
because she's in it.
Because I am in it. I'm trying to get better about having like Instagram office hours, kind of where I just set a time during the day that I go to Instagram and talk to people, because so I'm not always in reaction mode. I don't know if you've mastered that.
I'm like, I just do it all the time, 24 hours a day. And if I like, real talk, you guys listening, if you message me, I'll probably message you back really quickly, unless I'm busy, then I'm just not on my phone. But that's like my, I love it there. So like, I have no problem being there all the time. But I also have no problem being like, yo, this is a long ass question you asked me, so I'll get back to you later, or shoot me an email so I don't forget this and then get back to them later, just so like I can like have that contact point. But then like, sit down and like really answer it and be like, okay, here's the long and the short. I also love doing voice memos for people. It's annoying for them, I'm sure. Like, I don't love receiving them because it's like long to hear them. But I think, you know, to new people, it's like, oh my God, the person took the time to like send their, you know, talk back. And it's actually just much easier and I can get all my thoughts out. So I do not, you know, batch my time or whatever. I'm just on there all the time. But I have no shame. But Julia, like she said, she will get back to you too. And I structured this episode, and by structured, I mean, I just didn't ask certain things intentionally because I want you to go and talk to her. All right. I do think that you guys still got some wins out of the episode. Especially my main goal was that you hear that it can be done. Right, this is just one way, but you heard from the very beginning, which is where many of you may be, and perhaps you're in a different field. Maybe you're like a massage therapist and you're thinking about kind of switching more into the personal training kind of side of things. So you hear it can absolutely be done. You don't have to burn the ships. You don't have to like just quit your job. You can make those transitions. And then you have someone that's willing to answer these things for you and can answer these things for you and can help you out. And that's why I brought Julia on the show. At Julia Avery, shared A. Also at juliaavery.com with not a shared A. Julia, my dear, one last question and then I'll let you go. Because we're hitting that like close to an hour. If you had to leave the people with one last thing, you got any words of wisdom, words of advice?
Oh, gosh. So many. I guess it would be one that I've struggled with a lot, and it's caring about what other people think and realizing that people are not thinking about you nearly as much as you think they are, because you live in your own head and they do not, and they are thinking about themselves.
Amen. So you should do the damn thing. Take some messy action. Ask for help. I've given you resources. She's given you resources. And just take a little baby step. You don't have to take a big leap. It's okay. Just a little one. All right. It was a baby step. All right, Julia, this was awesome. Thank you for taking the time. I know that you're actually headed out to my coast tomorrow. And you got a lot of stuff going on. So thank you for being so accommodating with this and providing such a really, you know, just a really valuable resource, because I see people trying to go into this every day, and this is not my forte. I don't know what certifications you should be trying to get. I don't know what the market is holding for pricing for personal training. I don't know the best way to become a personal trainer, because that's not what I do. So thank you for filling in that gap and providing that resource and giving people some hope and some options. I appreciate it.
Of course.
You.
Thank you for having me on. This is my favorite podcast, and I got to be on it, which is like, I think I could just I've my life is complete now, so we're good.
I had to bring you on after you did the most impressive karaoke style of the intro. I was like, well, I got to bring Julia on. So it was a no-brainer. So thank you. Thank you. And one more time, thank you.
Thank you.
You guys listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to us. And for that, I am endlessly, endlessly grateful. I'm going to drop all of that information in the show notes for you. And if you could do me a solid while you're checking out those show notes, if you're on iTunes especially, leave me a little review. Give me some stars, preferably 5. I appreciate it. It does. It helps people to find the podcast. All right, that's all I got for you today, guys. Until next time, friends, Julia and Maestro